Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, Susan. If I can get two pretty gentlemen up here, two handsome gentlemen up here, we will receive this offering. Hey, Richard. He'll get a basket for you. Hey, Robert, let's get three. Grab Gary. Gary, will you help Robert receive the offering? You can have the inside of the U, Gary. That'll make it efficient. If anyone has seen a talkative redheaded woman, will you please send her to the front? You humble me, woman. Oh, praise God. Let's pray over the offering. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Looks like it. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. And God, we just thank you for all that you do in our lives and all that you give us. And Father, we return seed to you to plant into your kingdom. God, we want to see lives transformed. We want to see this county and all the counties and the parishes that we live in turned upside down for you. Lord, and all of our family members, we believe for them to know you better than we know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You gonna do that?
We need 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 people to ring the bell with the Salvation Army kettle in front of Walmart this coming Friday. Dress warm. It's going to be cold. I think the high that day is like in the 40s, the high 40s. I'm believing for it to get higher because now, ma'am? Yeah, it's just for 1 hour. So anyway, there's a list, and we'll pass it around the tables today. We'll give you a good opportunity to sign it. And so, anyway, it's a wonderful. Salvation Army helps people pay their utilities, pay medical bills. They don't pay rent, do they? They pay rent. We put transient people in hotels for a night or two. It's a good stopgap for the county. And for years, we were told that it stayed in the county, and the majority of it always did. But then we found out some of them went to Searcy and Independence County. And so for I think, about 4 or 5 years, our church hasn't participated. And the bell ring, this is the first time in quite a while. And but it does stay in this county now. The other counties have their own Salvation Army. I think they should contribute back to Stone County, since this is the centermost part of the world anyway. So anyway, God bless you.
Pastor's continuing on with the Christmas story this morning. Our Ladies' Hour of Power on Thursdays, reading the Book of John for Dear Life, is canceled for the month of December and the first week of January, and we will get back to it the second week of January. Today is our family Christmas. That's why all the tables are decorated and there's food. You are all invited to stay and eat with us. It does not matter if you weren't able to bring anything. We are family, and family shares. Amen. So we hope if you can do that, you will. And there'll be a couple of entertainment things going on. Arise, kids. Happy birthday, Jesus. That will be next Sunday at 10 o'clock after praise and worship. They'll have games and a birthday cake for Jesus, fun for all children ages 4 to 12. If you know any children 4 to 12 that don't go to church, please invite them to come. They will also have their kids' pajama party on December 29th at 10 a.m., and they will be watching the Polar Express doing hot cocoa and chocolate chip cookies. And all of our information is on our Facebook page, and arisechurch.cc is our website. I have a few prayer requests. We're still praying for Lonnie Corder. This is Thomas's girlfriend, Brianna. She was here a couple of weeks ago with Thomas, and he's been sent home with COPD and said that he only has a few months left to live. I'm not sure how old he is, but we want to pray for him. I want to pray for Miss Rosemary, who's been coming from the assisted living home. I heard she got very ill last night with a stomach bug, and so she's 83. You know, stomach bugs are not nice or easy on any of us, but when you're 83, it's harder. So we want to definitely be praying for her. And also for Trish Linville's family. Her, I don't know if any of you saw in the prayer group, but her brother passed away in a house fire on Friday night, I believe it was, Friday or Saturday morning. And Trish is here. And so if those that are around her just want to lay hands on her for the strength and the peace that passes all understanding over her, and that Jesus will leak out of her, that her family that are lost will see the love of the Father for his daughter through such a tragic time, and that peace will ooze out of her for them, that they will feel a touch of heaven, of the kingdom of God, ruling and reigning in her and through her and out of her, touching their lives through such a tragic moment. We pray for his wife, ex-wife, grandchildren that he was raising. Lord, for the whole family. This is a large family. And Father, we just pray peace over their minds. And we command every assignment of the enemy to steal their peace, to steal their hope, to steal their sleep, to be gone in the name of Jesus. The enemy has no right that they will lay their heads down in sweet sleep and peace. Father, we just thank you for this Mr. Corder, Lord. You know the situation. We take off authority. We speak life to his body, life to his lungs. We command those lungs to be open, those airways and passages to be open in the name of Jesus. That COPD is gone, that inflammation is gone, that you reverse what the enemy is trying to do in this man's life. You reverse it. Over Miss Roseberry right now, we call every virus and bacteria bug to die, to be gone, to be evaporated out of her body, that strength would begin to overtake her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. All of her muscles would come back to strength. Her intestines come back to strength, that every organ would begin to function the way it was created to function. Lord, we just pray against dehydration, that she will be able to drink, and that you are the strength of her life. What a firecracker, woman of God, with so many testimonies of your goodness. We thank you for one more of healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have fun. My favorite second grandson. My favorite first grandson's over there. Bridger Mack. Kayla, did you bring all your Ninja Turtles today? What a great bunch of people. Amen. Well, open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk about the Christmas story for a little bit. What I don't finish today, we'll finish next week. Many of y'all won't be here probably next week, people going out of town. But if you're here, it's going to be good. Amen. I love this time of year. You know, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but our tree is gold and white this year. The ornaments I'm always partial to the red and Whitemans because it reminds me of raspberries and cranberries and cream icing. Anyway, if it reminds me of something, it's food. You guys are in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I am starting in Galatians, so just give me a second. In Galatians 4, Paul wrote these words. You know, Paul never read the Gospels. They weren't written before Paul was executed or martyred. He knew the stories, and it's one of the reasons why we don't have many quotes of Jesus. I don't think any quotes of Jesus in, except what Jesus told Paul himself, in any of the stuff that Pauline wrote, the Pauline epistles that Paul wrote. But when he wrote these words, and Paul wrote a lot of words, and this is probably like my favorite scripture, which means that it's the one that I'm reading right now. But it says in chapter 4 of Galatians, when the fullness of time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that God might redeem those who were under the law, that we, everybody say we, might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. Because you are sons and daughters, God has sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You know, God does not exist in time. Time has no bearing on God. It's a concept that you and I can't really fathom. And I heard Beth Moore said this. I wanted to hear the story of Mary from a woman, and I wish she had got a lot more grittier than she got. But she said, time comes to God where time leaves you and I. But in reality, I think what Paul's writing here is a very poetic way of saying, at an appointed time, God sent Jesus to be born of a woman. And I can do a lot of things. Can't do as many things as I used to could do, but I can still do some things. I cannot give birth to a child. I've been married to a pregnant woman for 3 times, so I know what that's like. And I've been in the delivery room every time one of my children were born. Cody and Kayla were born in the exact same delivery room that Karen was born in New Iberia, right on the side of Bayou Teche at Iberia General. Keegan was born in North Louisiana, in the same name of the hospital that I was born in, but the place that I was born is an experimental microbiology place now, so that tells you something about. Giving birth. You know, ladies, when I think when we get to heaven, I think there was just going to be a lot of shouting and hollering and bowing and quietness, and I think God's going to look at men and say, y'all need to sit down and shut up. You've talked since you could talk. You wrote words that became scripture. And not one book of the Bible that we know of was written by the hand of a woman. Some people think that that's by design. I think it's by complete oversight. And I'll bet you pesos to dollars that there's a book in the Bible that was written by a woman. But when God wanted to send Jesus, when God wanted to change everything on this planet, when God wanted to say one last time to Satan, these people are mine. These are my sons and my daughters. I wonder when Isaiah was writing the words that he says, don't fear when you walk through the rivers. I'll be with you. Don't fear when you go through the fires. I'll be with you. You'll come out. You won't even smell like smoke. He says, I will bring back your sons and daughters to you. Here's the Father who has the Father's a heart that we can only imagine. Bringing in sons and daughters to his sons and daughters. I don't know if I can convey the deepness of the compassion in the heart of God for you. I just don't know if you and I can understand it in the capacity of our thinking and understanding and our emotions that God gave us. How much God loves us. That in this moment, he gets Gabriel. Let's read Luke 1. You guys okay out there? In the sixth month, which is speaking of the sixth month of John the Baptist in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And Gabriel came to her and said, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed. I love that. I bet you a 14-year-old was perplexed. But anyway, by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and over of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he'll be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and she's in the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. And then the angel departed. I just love this part. I just do. I love it that Luke wrote it and it's so sanitized. It's just, she was perplexed. Ladies, imagine yourself as a 14-year-old teenager. You're sleeping, minding your own business. There's no record of in the text of Mary fasting and praying, please let the Messiah come through me. I'm sure she wanted a Messiah to come through someone. They had been living under the Roman oppression for the last 70 years. And here she is, she's awakened at night, and here's Gabriel. She didn't even really freak out, according to Luke. If somebody just appeared in the room where you're asleep and they're bright shining, and I don't know if you've ever looked at some of the description of angels in Isaiah, but they were pretty freaky. And Ezekiel had even freakier angels. And, you know, angels are a really funny thing because they didn't have any angels. They had messengers of the Lord in the Old Testament scriptures and the Hebrew scriptures. But it wasn't until they came back from Persia and got associated with Greek culture that they began to have angels and demons. They didn't even have a defined adversary until then. The Satan wasn't really developed until later in about 200 years before Christ. And angels didn't have any names until Daniel was written. Daniel is the first book in the Bible that we have a name for an angel. It was Michael. But here Gabriel is. He can't catch a moment's peace. I mean, he goes to Elizabeth. He goes to Zechariah. Zechariah can't believe they're going to have a child because they're old. He gets struck dumb. You know, he can't speak till the child's born. Mary says, how's this going to happen? Because I'm engaged to be married, but we're not intimate like that. She's looking. You realize she asked the same question that Zechariah asked? But she didn't get struck dumb because girls, well, I have a granddaughter who can do no wrong, right? She's in the room. She knows this. I mean, sometimes girls just get more slack. You ever notice that? I try to make sure that I don't tip a female waitress more than I tip a male waitress. Waiter. Well, actually, she's a waiter too. But anyway, moving along. She gets favor. This girl's got favor. And she has this magnificent experience talking to Gabriel, listening to him. And then Gabriel leaves after God has deposited this purpose in her life, and the supernatural reality, the supernatural evidence is gone. And then she has to have a talk with her father and her groom. She's a teenager. I guess my point is this. We read this story and we make these nativity scenes and it's all pretty and magnificent and glorious. When in Mary's life, she was in danger of being stoned to death. It's not by accident that we don't have words from Mary's mom or Mary's dad. Because they don't put words like that in the Bible. Can you imagine her sitting at the table? Guess what happened to me last night? Oh, honey, did you have a dream? Boy, did I ever. It's no wonder that she scurried off to see Elizabeth. In fact, Gabriel planted that in her head. You need to go see Elizabeth because things at home aren't going to be good right now. Because see, this is the thing. If you and I don't understand what God is doing inside of us, but we expect people around us to just automatically acknowledge that and understand that we're in the middle of a process of a purpose that's coming through and birthing in our lives. It's no wonder that sometimes we look at one another with a little squint. It's no wonder that David's brothers looked at David and thought, oh yeah, you got oil poured on your head, boy. That's good. Go back to your little sheep. See, miraculous things happen in our lives too. It's not just Mary. None of us are going to give birth to Jesus, especially me. Jesus has already been born. But God is still working in every one of our lives. Every one of our lives. He's got a purpose that he's bringing that affects people around us and people we don't even know. But Mary had the proper response. She said, let it be just like you said. What? It's no wonder that it's written that she's blessed among women. She's blessed among people. So many people come face to face with what God's doing in their life, and they don't say, I don't understand it, I don't get it, but let it be just like you said. Why can't we approach God who loves us and loves the people around us and wants to do great things in their life and our life? Why can't we just say, I don't understand it, God, but just let it be like you said it would be. Let it be like you said it would be in my life. I'm not going to be the stumbling block to the purpose in my life. Go back to the story. Is that okay? It's only 11:18. I'll be through by 11:30, I promise. In Matthew 1, you're not there, but I'll just read it to you. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. See, Gabriel can't get any rest at all. And said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. For he will save the people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they'll name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Joseph awoke from the sleep, and he did as the angel commanded him. And he took Mary as his wife. You know, studying for this and looking over resources, did you know that when they were betrothed to be married in the year that they were waiting for their wedding to come around, that the two of them could be intimate in her father's house? I didn't know that. I actually think it's probably some rabbinic writing from centuries later that they probably changed. But anyway, Joseph knew. Not my child. Right? You think I'm trying to be playing with you this week? Just wait till next week when Jesus is born. Okay? Because the point of this is that God gets down in the dirty, gritty life with us. He's there in the sweat and the blood and the tears and the anxiety and the unknown, the misunderstanding. Have you ever misunderstood God? I mean, this seems all da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is nice, but I promise you, Joseph, even after he woke up from that dream, he wasn't always, this is it. It wasn't like he didn't have to fight the thoughts going into his head. Allowing the woman that he loved, the girl that he loved, to become who God had designed for her to be. We don't talk enough about Joseph. We don't give Joseph enough credit. Because most men that I know would have hit the road. He was concerned about Mary. He was concerned. There's no way he comprehended what was going on. So I got some questions I want to ask all of us. And this one is, can you pursue the purpose of God in your life in complete and utter darkness? In complete and utter misunderstanding? In incomplete knowledge and incomplete wisdom, with questions firing in your brain and in your heart like lightning in a storm. Because that's what these two people did. We have this story because two people set aside their cultures. They set aside what their parents thought. They set aside what other people thought. They set aside what they set aside their tradition of their interpretation of Scripture. Because when Isaiah was talking about a woman will have is, he doesn't say a virgin will become impregnated and give birth. He says a woman that is with child now, a young woman that is with child now, will give birth to a child, and before that child can understand its left hand from its right hand, the war that was in the middle that was worrying the king that Isaiah was talking to would be over. Matthew reinterpreted that scripture. Everything about this is different. 1,000 years of tradition, and God just brought it to a screeching halt. And he introduced Jesus into this primordial perception and conception of God in our hearts and in our minds as a human race. And all of a sudden, the heart of God begins to become known, that the heart that he had had the whole time. God never changed his mind about you. Not a single time. And these two people, they followed what God gave them to do with their whole heart, with everything that was within them. And Mary is in the Gospels throughout to the cross, to the resurrection. Mom was there because she was going to see this through. Do we have that kind of commitment to what God is asking us? Are you we willing to do what it takes to see God's promise to be revealed in our life? Are we willing to set aside our fear and our culture and listen to what God is declaring to us? Because that's the story that grips me when I read this story. When I read this account, the words of Mary's mouth, let it be as you said. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians in closing. He said, but we have this treasure in jars of clay so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that's in accordance with Scripture, I believed and I spoke, we believe and therefore we speak. How does that pertain to this? It's like this. Because Mary said yes. She's leading the way, and you and I saying yes to what God's asking us to do. And if a teenage girl can do it, If a man who's engaged to a woman can listen to God in his dream, can hear a word from God, you and I can hear a word from God. And it might be tough, and people will misunderstand us, and people will talk about us, and it won't look right on paper. But when it's all said and done, man, the power of God that is released from a yielded heart, the power of his love and his compassion, the power of his healing. Because we see Mary, we can believe now. Because she gave us an example, even though she's not in Hebrews chapter 11. She should be, but she's not. God is saying to you and I today, I've got more for you. Let me take care of the details. You just say yes. I remember a friend of mine had her little daughter, and they were going to pray over a situation. And the little daughter looked at her mama and said, "You say the words, mama, and I'll do the yesing." We let God say the words, and we do the yesing. We let God speak to us, and we say the yesing. And when He's silent, we still say yes, because we're resting in Him. Let's all stand. Amen. I don't know if you really enjoyed that today or not. I did. I really did. I love that story. Mary's one of the people I want to meet. Joseph is one of the people I want to meet. Gabriel is one of the people. Well, he's not people, is he? I still want to meet Gabriel. Father, we just thank you, God. You gave us your word. Lord, you're with us. You've been with us our whole life. When we were all conceived, you were with us. You wove us together in the womb. You laid out a life for us in a book. Father, we seek your will for our lives, and we seek for the strength and the boldness and the courage and the gumption to say yes to you. And we say yes, God. We say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.